Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, in John chapter 6, it talks about Jesus was trying to feed him with spiritual bread. And some of the disciples left, and Jesus asked the apostles, so will you go too? And Peter stood up and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. And I didn't take this lightly to be up here. I give honor to Pastor, my friend, my leader. I give honor to Pastor and Sister Panero and Sister Michaela. And I'm thankful for the seen and the unseen, the things we don't see, the travail, the prayers, the covering. I'm thankful for that. I can't stand behind this pulpit without giving Bishop honor, Bishop and Sister Keys. I can say it for many, and we miss you. We miss you, Bishop. We love you. I miss you. I love you. I appreciate you. And I'm sorry for being a knucklehead. God bless the church. But it's great to be a part of this Joshua generation. God bless the church. If you could join me and go to Psalms chapter 51. I better get my notes. Psalms chapter 51, starting at verse 6. If you have it, say amen. Hallelujah. It says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Then in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting at verse 11, if we can quickly turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. It says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world, everybody say world, in their heart, so that no man, nobody, can find out the work that God maketh from beginning to the end, from start to finish. Then in verse 22, the last scripture I'm going to read, opening here, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 22 says, wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion, for who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? We only get one life to live. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Lord, I give you glory. I thank you, God, for this opportunity to come before your throne, God, as the oracle today, God. Lord, we give you glory. We give you praise. Lord, anoint my lips, God, to speak to your church, to speak to every voice under this, every heart under the sound of my voice tonight, God. Lord, we come with expectancy, God. Release the gift of faith in this place, God. Let there be healings in this place, God. Fill your people, God. Fill us up, God. Fill a soul with the Holy Ghost, God. Revive us, God, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Question I would like to pose tonight is, who are we and why are we here? Psalms 139 and 14. I give props to the media team. Thank you for loading up the scripture. Psalm 139, verse 14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. We are created on purpose, for a purpose. We are known by him to make him known because of the times, like Pastor preached about. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 says, if we can go back to that lead scripture, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, it says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And I'd like to draw our attention to that word there, the world. According to Hebrew lexicon, the word for world is olam, meaning eternity. In other words, he has set eternity in our heart. Ola, meaning futurity, which means renewed or continuing existence. In other words, an everlasting foundation of divine inspiration molded and shaped in us from the womb. He is our God from our mother's womb. The word olam also implies perpetual, evermore, forever, always, everlasting, indefinite. God put in us an everlasting seed. Perpetual inspiration from divine hands and eternal purpose. Eternity also refers to what some would call a vanishing point, meaning time out of mind, past, or future. In other words, there's a seed, an eternal precious seed, continually unfolding, divinely inspired from past and future. We know that God transcends time. We know that he is the beginning and the end. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. We know that he's already in our future. It reaches into the eternal, that divine seed, the world, eternity in our heart. Maybe this is why Job cried, "Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not." I'm going to try to help somebody tonight. Or perhaps why the Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. I press toward the mark," verse 14, "for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." God has set the world, eternity, in our hearts. No man could add to it or take away from it. God has set the world, eternity, a process and a journey, not quite within reach, but wonderfully orchestrated and ordered by Jesus himself. God bless the church. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. God has set the world in our hearts. He's got the blocks of our life in his hands. And I used Monopoly blocks tonight, and I was going to buy some new blocks that were not branded, but, you know, God was talking to me and said, "Hey, you know what? You don't want to monopolize your life. Let me build your life." Jeremiah 29 and 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Job may not have known, and we may not know, things too wonderful, but God knows where he's taking us. We're going places tonight. We're going places tonight. He put the world in our hearts, eternity, a process and a journey, not quite within reach, but wonderfully orchestrated and ordered by Jesus himself. He holds all the blocks of our life in his hands. Psalms 139, verse 17 says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sands of the sea." Again, I pose the question, who are we? Who are we? We got to think about it. Who are we? We are real people with real fears, real curiosities, real questions, challenges, goals, and dreams. We are real people with God-given talents and abilities to be exercised therewith. We are his workmanship, a king's work, king of kings, work in progress, in process. The King of Kings, wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah, Jesus. We are a king's work in progress, in process. I like how Brother Kleindienst says it. He says, we are God's VIP. We are God's victory in progress. Hallelujah, Jesus. We have simple fears like how to build a resume that properly reflects skills. Questions and fears like, hey, it's Valentine's Day. I'm buying some steaks. I hope I don't burn the steaks. My wife can attest to that. They came out good. Or simple fears like, am I actually going to get a chance to try Dutch Brothers? Anybody tried Dutch Brothers? Takes about 20 minutes, right? Yeah, kind of worth it. Longer. Yeah, I think it was longer. But God bless the church. So simple fears. People with simple fears. Real people with real fears like stagnation. Fears of stagnation. Paralysis. Not living up to our own or other people's standards. Fears of losing one's passion and ambition. Fears like not being good enough for anything or anyone. Fears of falling into a boring, this is a quote, and I quote, fears of falling into a boring life without purpose, falling into the abyss of the mundane, fears of not meeting that, perhaps that special someone who loves me for who I am, despite my flaws and failures. We are real people with real questions tied to self-esteem, our identity, self-identity, and self-efficacy. We have questions like, how can I push the boundaries? I quote, how can I push the boundaries of my potential? Where will I find my passion and what is my North Star? What is my life's purpose? I quote, these are real. These are from some of my students. In a Gallup study across 112,312 business units, Gallup, a research hub, says they asked business units on employee engagement, how connected are your employees at work? 13%, get this, 13% of employees are actively disengaged. They're miserable. 13% are disengaged from work. 51% are not engaged psychologically. They're detached from their work. 51%. So that's 64%. I've heard this statistic before, and it's 64 to 70% of people are disengaged from their work. They're pushing a rock uphill. My question on that is, what does this say about the state of our nation? What does that statistics and the data say? We see it. The bank teller, perhaps cashing your check. The barista at Starbucks. The Dutch Brothers person trying to bring out your drink as fast as they could. What does this say? What it says is that we are in a fight for the soul of America. It's high time to be salt and light. Praise God. God bless the church. It's high time to be salt and light. God, help us. Help me, Lord, to be salt and light. And so tonight, Nothing Better is the title of tonight's message. But really, the second title I wanted to add, I was going to try and get rid of the blocks, but God's like, no, I want you to show the blocks. And the second title is, what does God desire? God desires truth. God desires truth. We read it. Psalms 51 and 6 says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. I'm come here tonight to say, hold on to truth. Devour the word. Devour the word. Keep it close. Love the truth. Love the A love for the truth is our defense against deception. The darker the night, the greater the night, the light we need. We need the light of the word of God. We need apostolic doctrine, the bread of life, the living word, Jesus on the inside. God, help us to protect the treasure. Help us to guard the truth in this hour, to be vessels of light and truth. Help us, God, to study, to show ourselves approved. We need to let the word of God cut both ways. For the word of God, Hebrews 4 and 12 says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder. In other words, it needs to cut inside, and we can use it to cut through the strongholds of the enemy, cut through the strongholds of the things that try to bring us down, cut through the strongholds of everything that comes against us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. We need to neglect not the gift of basic instructions before leaving earth, the B-I-B-L-E. We need to learn it, love it, and live it. Psalms 33 and 4 says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. God also desires obedience. Obedience. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. It's my duty to please him, to praise him, to serve him. Brother Jurassic, obedience is still greater than sacrifice. Right. That message stuck with me. Thank you. Yeah. Disobedience to God will unleash a Goliath-sized giant of adversity to trouble us. Disobedience will put a stop to the anointing and cast away the shield of the mighty. It's in 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel. Obedience is the key to good success, and what we find in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. We need to, like Pastor says, we need to be submitted and committed. God desires us to be unwavering in first love and first works. First love and first works. Revelation 2 and 5 says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. Or else I will come into thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. God wants us to focus on first works. First works. To recognize, repent, rinse, and repeat, and keep going. To die daily, to take up our cross, to build our altars, to seek ye first the kingdom of God. God also desires our prayers and our praise. Psalms 145 and 3 says, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Psalms 96 and 4 says, for the Lord is great, and greatly to be praised. Amen. He is to be feared above all gods. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 21 says, he is thy praise. He is thy praise. He is your praise. Amen. And he is thy God that had done for you these great and terrible things which thy eyes have seen. Has he done anything for you? Hallelujah, Jesus. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. A great God merits great praise. Psalms 113 and 3 says, we talked about it tonight. Lord, you are good. And the songs that the musicians were singing. Psalms 113 and 3 says, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. That's all day, from coast to coast, from sunrise to sunset. All day praise. Let's call it all day praise. At all times, in all places of his dominion. He is mighty. He is holy. He is worthy of all the glory. He saves us out of all our fears. It's in Psalms 34. It says he saves us out of all our fears, all our troubles, and all our afflictions for his name's sake. Yes, he is worthy of all our praise, of all praise. The songwriter says, my praise is a weapon. It's a revelation, a declaration. My God is king. He can do anything. Are there any worshipers in the house who want to give God some all praise? Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. God also desires our passion. God desires our passion. God desires our all praise, but he also desires our true worship. Genesis 22 and 6 says, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering in faith and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire, the esh, in his hand. You look up esh, it means supernatural fire, literal fire and supernatural fire, and a knife, and his son Isaac. And they went both of them together. In other words, Abraham went in faith to build an altar, to make a sacrifice unto God with fire in his hand in faith. Abraham took the fire in his hand, fire from the heart, from divine inspiration to the hand, from a place of passion and inspiration to perspiration. It wasn't easy to carry all of that with perspiration. It ain't easy to walk this walk. Inspiration to perspiration in anticipation for a demonstration. So when God gets a hold of you, it's like fire shut up in your bones. Hebrews 12 and 29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. The fire gripped Abraham, and what began in his heart became a vehicle for outward expression of worship unto God. Everything we do is worship unto God. Every song, every ministry, every visit, every shelter feed, every song, everything, every fellowship meeting is worship unto God. This is why David danced, Brother Skeda, before the Lord with all his might, every six steps, because he was filled by raw passion. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. I'm going to stop right there. I give my wife a hard time because she cries when she gets up behind a lectern and a pulpit. And so if I get emotional, she's going to give me a hard time. Mark 12 and 30 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So if I'm going to pray, praise, or worship, or clean the church, I'm going to do it with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. True praise and true worship is fueled by two things: raw passion and practical faith. I'm going to talk first about raw passion. Raw passion is a lust for life that doesn't settle for status or status quo. In the world, they call it ikigai. It's a balance of what you should do, what you're good at, what your skills are, what the world needs, what you can get paid for, and they call it balance. But we know better than that. God is our inspiration for everything we do, and everything we do is worship unto God. Everything we do. Raw passion is a lust for life that doesn't settle for status or status quo. It's an insatiable energy and pure motivation to live life with infectious enthusiasm. The word enthusiasm, get this, comes from the Greek roots en, enthusiasm, en, and theos, meaning in, en, theos, in God. So the word enthusiasm comes from Greek roots, and it means the more you get into, in other words, enthusiasm, the more animated you want to get, the more impassioned you want to get, you need to get into God. The more you get into God and the more of his spirit that gets into you, the more impassioned you become. That's why Paul, in the midst of trial and tribulation, in the midst of all the afflictions, the beatings, he could say, you know what, King Agrippa, I think myself happy. I think myself happy, King Agrippa. We must cultivate a hunger for God and the things of God. The other thing that leads and contributes to true worship is practical faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Steadfast faith. Steadfast faith. Now faith. Faith for the now. God desires faith. Faith in the pursuit that he's still looking, running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Now faith. Faith is the key that fits every lock. Now faith honors God, and God honors faith. Faith localizes deity. It connects our weakness to his strength, our impotence to his omnipotence. Faith opens the door for God to move on our behalf. No matter what our need is, faith opens the door for God to move on our behalf. Somebody said it behind this pulpit. God will not operate in a realm of unbelief. We demonstrate our true worship and praise from faith to faith. If you need a little bit of encouragement, Jeremiah 32 and 27 says, "Behold, take note, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Every single person, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for me? You are the I in faith." What else does God desire? I thought Brother Ronnie was going to get there. Brother Paisano with the Ezekiel. But what else does God desire? He desires in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30 for his church to stand in the gap. He's looking for a man to stand in the gap. He's looking for his children. He desires for his children to pray and to seek his face, to ask, to seek, to knock without ceasing, to seek ye first the kingdom of God. And as I was preparing for this, I was going to pass this up, but this kept coming back to me, and I felt this super important. God also desires unity. He desires unity. Romans 14 and 19 says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one, me and you, may edify one another." Every ministry is edification. Everything we do is edification. It's building the body of Christ. It's building the church and the house of God. David and Solomon were blessed beyond measure because it was in their heart to build a house for the Lord. So when we build the body of Christ, we release God's blessing. We cannot take lightly every ministry, every step, everything that we do. Every ministry, every elder. Thank you, Brother Wilkes. Thank you, Brother Woosley. Thank you, Brother Ruiz. Thank you, my brothers and sisters, for building the church. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you, brother and sister, for edification, for building the church. God desires unity. He desires us to do it in unity and to not forget the first works, to not forget. Este bloque, hermano, es el bloque que nos dio, hermano Madriaga. Todavía tengo mi bloque. God is good. I still have Brother Fred's block that he gave us. He said, "You know what? Everybody is a piece of the body of Christ." This is that same block from 10 years ago, 12 years ago. I still have that block. Everybody matters. Everybody is essential. What else does God desire? God desires for us. This is another point of emphasis, and this has been with me. I can't get rid of this. It's for us. God desires for us to look up and listen. For our pastor talked about this, for our redemption draws nigh. He's wanting us to look up and listen. For there's a sound, I don't know about you, but there's a sound of abundance of rain. There's a stirring in the spirit. If we can go to 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 22. 2 Samuel says, "And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord," he didn't do anything without inquiring of the Lord. "And he said, Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind the enemy's camp and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees." I don't know if you hear the sound tonight, but God wants us to be attuned to the stirring in the spirit. There is a stirring atop the mulberry trees. There is a stirring of a wind of God, of angels, of recourse, of heaven's resources. of all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has given us all things. We are fully equipped. Pastor talked about advanced warning. This is our advanced equipping. In verse 25, it says, when thou hearest the sound in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. It means advance quickly. So if you hear the sound, or maybe not, we need to plug in. But if you hear the sound, advance quickly into the enemy's camp. For then shall the Lord go out before thee and smite the host of the Philistines. Advance quickly. There are treasures. There are blessings. There are gifts atop the mulberry trees. In the stirring of the spirit, there are mantles to be picked up. I don't know about you, but I want to pick up every mantle that I can pick up. I want to pick up every blessing, every anointing. I want to pick up everything that God has for me in this hour. Angels and hosts, heavenly hosts, kingdom hosts, circuit powers in the air. God walks in the circuit of heavens looking to show himself strong on behalf of his church. That stirring atop the mulberry trees, I consider it unlikely. This was a revelation for me, and you could correct me if I'm wrong. But it talks about David hearing that sound. King David hearing the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Of a rushing mighty wind. David had an upper experience, an upper room experience. And maybe that's why in the book of Acts, it says, and then when they were all together in one accord, there came a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house. That was our equipping to be the book of Acts church that we need to be. That was our equipping. There is a stirring in the spirit atop the mulberry trees. Proverbs 15 and 24 says, the way of life is above to the wise. So if we're not looking up, we're not wise. The way of life is above to the wise. We need to unplug and remove every fear, every distraction, and look up, for our redemption draws nigh. That he may depart from hell beneath. God desires for his people to walk in complete victory with a clear sense of identity and dimension and dominion, to multiply, to be fully equipped. We are a church of multiplication from the very beginning. We have the seed in ourself. That's maybe why it says, and he put eternity in our heart. All the weights of the bag. In Proverbs, it says, all the weights of the bag. Don't worry. Don't fret. Bestir thyself. Advance quickly. All the weights of the bag of everything we're going to face are in God's hand. He holds all the weights of this life. We are bought with a price. Our lives are in God's hands. My life is in his hands. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 1 says, for all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. Whatsoever thy hand findeth, verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave. Whither thou goest, Pastor said it, today is all we get. Today is all we get. The reward is sure, the work ordained, the harvest is full, the harvest is white. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. God wants us to sow seed. God wants us to sow the wind, because we're going to reap a whirlwind. According to Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 26 says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. The Lord is my portion, verse 24 says, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. We need to keep hope alive. If there's another block, it's to keep hope alive. Again, I ask, what does God desire? Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 22 says, wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall come after him? God desires unity. He desires us to be plugged in the spirit. He desires us to look up and to listen for the sound atop the mulberry trees, for the stirring in the spirit. There is a heritage. There is a root system that we can connect to at the bottom of the trees, and at the top there is a stirring in the spirit. I want to plug into that, and I ask us, how many of us want to plug into that, to that supernatural power and supernatural resource from God himself? If you're hungry and you're thirsty, I ask you to look up and listen. for there is a sound. For there is a sound atop the mulberry tree. So let's give him a hand clap of praise.